Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Second day of November. It's All Souls or All Saints or All Stars or All You Can Eat Buffet Day or whatever the hell it is in that silly ass calendar that the church maintains. But it's something special. It's the second day of November to me. All You Can Eat? Oh boy. You know, Guy James told me a story one time. I still hear from Guy every now and then. They're just working Guy to death. But back in the halcyon days of his youth, Guy said that they went into an Italian restaurant that had a sign, you know, all you can eat. Guy's a pretty big old strapping fella. The two of us together at the Horns home office, what was at the time considered the Horns home office in D.C., a place called Fogo de Chao, was a spectacle to behold, and not necessarily a pretty one. But he was a big old strapping young man going through the Ohio State University. And Guy and his buddy had gone to this all-you-can-eat Italian restaurant and proceeded to take the proprietor at his word and ate and ate and ate and ate until finally on plate number God knows what, the proprietor came in, who himself was no shrinking violet, looked at Guy and said, "It's time for you boys to leave. You're eating too much." And Guy looked at him and said, "But your sign says all you can eat." And he says, "That's right, it does. And I've said you've had all you can eat." And thereupon, it requested that Guy and his comrade exit the premises. So, this is all-you-can-eat day, or all-star day, or one-size-fits-all day, or, oh, isn't it just so silly? But more than anything else, of course, you know that it's Wednesday here on the Horn, and Wednesday means, well, it can mean only one thing. No, not downhill to Friday, dadgummit, not hump day, not just middle of the week. No, brethren and sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Hallelujah! Glory! Put your hands in the air! Let me wipe myself down with my prayer cloth, which we will auction later. It is, in fact, prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and this All Souls or All Saints or All Stars or One Size Fits All or All You Can Eat Day, and we got a dandy for you. It's almost like the right-wing religion industry been saving up! Hallelujah! Glory! Let's get it all started! With the Minister of Music, if he would come forward, please, and get the crowd warmed up. Mr. Brother Minister of Music, if you please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang, hut, sut, ralston on the rilla ride, a brawler, suet. I love you. Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Hot glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I have been touched. I have been touched. But I ain't a touching nobody else, and don't you be touching me neither. All right. Keep you, you know, that's one of the first commandments here. Keep your hands to yourself. Hallelujah. Glory. Tell them deacons to come on. On inside. Quit fooling around out there with the sinners smoking in the parking lot. Come on through the vestibule and never mind that dish of butter mints that's been sitting there for 20 years in the vestibule. You ain't dead stale. Ain't no good neither. Oh, maybe we'll get one of these days when collections go up, we'll replace them with some little dissolving peppermint balls of some sort. Come on down that blood-red aisle, brethren and sistren, and get on your knees in front of the altar and put your hands upon the subwoofer, brethren and sistren, glory, glory to God. Put your hands on the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Arch Ultimate Pope Supreme Rabbi, Exalted Imam, Animated Animist, Superior Shaman Bob Kincaid, and this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Glory. Oh, I am worked up into a plum frenzy, brethren and sistren. Oh, I am. Glory, glory, glory. Now, where do we begin, brethren and sisters? Where do we begin? I got a pretty good idea. Oh, I do. Yes, indeedy, brethren and sisters, you got to keep an eye out for the impure in spirit. You do, brethren and sisters. Glory, you know that you do. And thankfully, there's a repig-licking nominee for the governor's office in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The Commonwealth. Who is on the lookout for the abomination that is, brethren and sistren, idolatry. Glory, I cannot lie. Testify. Yes, indeedy. Kentucky State Senator and GOP gubernatorial nominee David Williams. Glory, glory to David Williams. Hallelujah. He stands for the Lord. Exposed the sitting governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Upstanding Christian Kentucky, where they've even got a plaque on the door of the Department of Homeland Security telling people that if it ain't for the glory of God, Kentucky gonna go up in flames from them Muslim terrorists. That's right. And the circuit court done said they's a right to be putting it up there. Ha! Glory. David Williams has called out that filthy sinner, that demoncrat, that Steve Beshear, who ain't much different from a repiglickin' when you get down to it, because he favors the blowing up of all the mountains in eastern Kentucky, that Steve Beshear. But I reckon he ain't quite as insane as the rip pig lickings, because they ain't the rip pig lickings and right wingers. They're insane for Jeebus. That's what they are. They're crazy for God. Yes, hallelujah. And that's why David Williams had to call out Governor Bashir. Called him out because he is, in fact, tell the children to leave the room. I don't want them hearing this. I don't even want them knowing it could happen. Yes. David Williams called out incumbent governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, God's Commonwealth of Kentucky, Steve Beshear, called him out because it turns out that Steve Beshear is an idolater. David Williams said, if I'm a Christian, I don't participate in Jew prayers. I'm glad they do that. I don't participate in Hindu prayers. I don't participate in Muslim prayers. To get down and get involved and participate in prayers to these polytheistic situations where you have these Hindu gods and they're praying to them doesn't appear to me to be in line with what a governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky ought to be doing. Just as an aside, we'll go ahead and send the Rev on to other things. Did you catch that part? He refers to, I don't participate in Jewish prayers, I don't participate in Hindu prayers, I don't participate in Muslim prayers. To get down and get involved and participate in prayers with these polytheistic situations. Gee, and I thought the situation was some jackass on some reality television show, but it goes to show what I know, right? Yeah. You'll have that, I guess. Judaism and Islam are polytheistic? Did I miss the memo? I mean, sure, Hinduism is polytheistic. So is the ancient Greek religion. So is the ancient Roman religion. So was the ancient Nordic religion. So were most of the religions that were prevalent across the North American and Mesoamerican and South American continents before they were wiped out by the Christians. But Judaism and Islam? Polytheistic? Excuse me? Thou shalt have no other gods before me? I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other... That Judaism? But he's not a praying any of them Jew prayers, or none of them Muslim prayers. He has to run screaming from the room every time he hears words spoken that aren't in English for fear that he might be unintentionally participating in some polytheistic heathen praying. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Now, where did this all come from? Well, it comes from reality. No, not the religion part. That's completely fantasy. But it comes from a new sort of 21st century reality, the new normal of America in the 21st century. Steve Beshear is touting his job-creating skills. And there is a brand new business coming to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, a lovely little community that even has a Popeye's fried chicken in it. But never mind the Popeye's fried chicken. I think there's going to be a little bit more tandoori chicken in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, or maybe even some vegetarian fare. I mean, why? Well, because a company based in India has decided to set up shop in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. And as a consequence of that, they wanted to do something special. They held a traditional Hindu ground blessing ceremony last week for the place that will house the business that will create 250 jobs. And trust me, when you live in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and you've got a chance at a job and you ain't got one, if it was 250 jobs brought there by the Satanists, ain't a politician on earth would be a-cussing about it. And meanwhile, David Williams conveniently forgot that Steve Beshear has funneled millions, or laid the groundwork for funneling millions of taxpayer dollars into the pockets of a guy named Ham, I think, who runs the Creation Museum and is behind the creation of the Ark Park. You know, the one that will have an ark with dinosaurs on it. But no, David Williams was right upset. He went to the ground blessing ceremony, and you know, I'm one of those multicultural kind of guys. I'd love to see one of those. I'd love to see how you sanctify the ground for commerce. I'd like to see how you sanctify the ground for the pursuit of profit. Because, you know, in my little world, they just seem sort of juxtaposed against one another. Sanctity and pursuit of profit. But maybe it ain't that way in the Indian pantheon, and who the hell am I? David Williams got his maiden forms plumbing a bunch. He's there participating with Hindu priests, participating in a religious ceremony. He's sitting down there with his legs crossed, participating in Hindu prayers with a dot on his forehead with incense burning around him. I don't know what the man was thinking. I think I do. I think he was thinking, I'm going to get 250, maybe 500 votes out of bringing these 250 jobs to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and it don't matter a big old damn whether it's Italians or Indians or dots or feathers or what. We're getting some jobs, baby. They asked the Beshear campaign about Mr. Williams' remarks, and he said that they were, Matt Irwin, campaign spokesman, he said Williams' remarks were pathetic and desperate. He's frustrated because he's so far behind in the race for governor that, according to Larry J. Sabato of the University of Virginia, didn't sit too well with the Hindu organizations in the United States. National Hindu spokesman Rajan Zed said that Williams had dragged a Hindu ceremony into an electoral battle for the governor's race of Kentucky. Kentucky governorship candidate David Williams should apologize for the reported comments about the Hindu ceremony, because if elected on November 8th, he would be the governor of all Kentuckians, including Hindu Kentuckians. God, you can hear the right wing now, can't you? Holy mackerel. The Commonwealth of Kentucky is operating under Hindu Sharia law, being ruled by a God that eats peanuts and one that's got seven arms. What kind of God is that? Because, see, while what Matt Irwin said may or may not be true about Williams being desperate, it is a fact that if you go to a Baptist church or most any other brand of fundamentalism, that business about idolatry is gonna play. Because Baptists hate everybody. Them Church of Christers, not the good ones, not the United Churches of Christ, them other ones, the ones that don't allow no tambourines nor even kazoos amongst their singing. It's going to play with them. It's going to play with some Methodists. It's going to play with some Presbyterians. It's going to play with a bunch of Christians. Because after all, the history of Christianity is a history of assault upon other faiths. There ain't much left of Christianity except for Christianity's ongoing assaults on other faiths. Apparently the business is Flex Films. Now, before you think that maybe it's some extension of Bollywood, it isn't. Flex Films makes flexible packaging. And this will be their first plant in the United States. It is an outgrowth of the fact that Governor Beshear went to India looking for some jobs. Unlike George W. Bush, he came back with something besides mangoes. There's going to be $180 million in capital investment in Kentucky, 250 new jobs, and there'll probably be a big old tax giveaway. The news release from the ceremony described it as a traditional service in India for new homes, businesses, and other facilities. I guess you could call it a polytheistic housewarming. David in Tennessee, my head writer, noting, that pig-licking Williams is without a doubt an idiot. Check this. What is one of Louisville's best thought-of hospitals, the one that specializes in limb replacements and reattachments? Well, its name is simply Louisville Jewish Hospital. That doofus has angered about 50% of Jefferson County and a ton of thoughtful Commonwealth citizens. What a idiot. And the question is, of course, will it balance off by coming up with some yahoos to drag them out from underneath the pews in the first established church of the anointed whatever? Right. And that's the question that remains to be answered. That's Kentucky. Thank God it's not West Virginia. But then again, no Hindu packaging manufacturing firm is going to come to West Virginia, because why would you want people to come here and be poisoned? Because this is a poisonous place. Cancer clusters and the like. Mountaintop removal. You know, good, upstanding, Christian mountaintop removal. Oops, we have Indians blowing up the mountains here, too. Well, okay. Yeah, I guess we're being said, yeah, different Indians, maybe. Who knows? So there's that out of Kentucky. There's ever so much more, though. And not necessarily Kentucky. Just a gentle reminder that one need not be... Uh-oh, wait a minute, they are. I was going to say that one need not be Christian, but these are Christians too. One need not be American to engage in religious hatred. You know, it must be borne in mind that until the rise of Christianity, religious wars, if you go and look through history, religious wars were pretty much non-existent. Empire might go to war against empire, kingdom against kingdom, brother against brother sometimes. I mean, you know, royalties like that. But in very few instances, even in the New World and what we know of its history, they didn't go to war over religion. They would go to war and beseech their religious avatars and gods and whatnot for their blessings, but they would not make war on someone else particularly or especially or exclusively because of the other people's way of worshiping some deity. That was a wholesale introduction of a new paradigm into the annals of human-on-human brutality that can only be traced to those who follow the Prince of Peace. And it spread around the world faster than a virally born disease. Hence, lynch mobs in southern Mozambique in the community of Gaza, irony, have killed two people they accused of being witches, state media said Wednesday. Those who were detained in connection with the death of these people accused their victims of witchcraft. Some of the detainees are teachers of some schools in the area. Police have arrested six people for the killings, which happened over the weekend. This, according to Radio Mozambique. The story from Agence France-Presse notes that lynchings are common in Mozambique, where mobs often take the fight against crime, including perceived witchcraft, into their own hands. 20 elderly people accused of witchcraft have been killed in Mozambique in the past 9 months. That, according to a group called Forum of the Third Age, who advocates for the elderly. You might recall that back when she was the flavor of the month or half year or whatever, all that video that went out and about of good old fundamentalist Caribou Barbie, Mussolini, Godzilla from Wasilla, Sarah Palin, you might recall that video of her with an African evangelical leader casting out demons and anointing her to be the savior of America. Well, his claim to fame back in his homeland, and I'm not sure if it was Mozambique or somewhere else, but back in his homeland in Africa, his claim to fame was the fact that he was a hammer of the witches. He was a witch killer. And it is an accepted part of Christian practice in many circles, in benighted places, to seek out the witches and kill them. Because after all, the Holy Book says, suffer not a witch to live. Right. Oh, there is silliness aplenty this evening. Now, if you are like me and of a certain age, and even if you're a little bit younger than me, and maybe if you're way younger than me, happy birthday yesterday, Cassie, you might be familiar with the emergency broadcast system. All through the Cold War, and in particular with regard to an episode of WKRP in Cincinnati that I simply cannot forget, in which Les Nessman opened the emergency broadcast system packet on account of the tornadoes that were blowing through Xenia, Ohio, I believe, only to find out that it referenced communist hordes. The emergency broadcast system was a child of the Cold War, in which the government could, in the event of an actual emergency, that was the language, warn the entire nation of an impending nuclear attack, primarily. This is a test. This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. If this were an actual emergency, you would be notified where to go, and you remember it, right? It was preceded by a 1 kilohertz tone and followed by a 1 kilohertz tone, and then the words, this has been a test of the emergency broadcast system, and then whatever it was you were watching or listening to would come back. The technology was such that it would override whatever was being broadcast. I remember reading that it was, there were questions or there were efforts to make sure that it was in a full state of readiness, for instance, during the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's been going on for a long time, right? Well, guess Ohio State Senate candidate or member Janet Porter, who has quite a history of all kinds of right-wing hate, and without a doubt is a Bible-believing Christian. Janet Porter is having a plum hissy over, no, you guessed it, the emergency broadcast system.
With today's Faith to Action commentary, here's Janet Porter.
This is only a test. You have probably heard those words many times on radio and TV as they momentarily interrupt the program or game you're trying to hear. Next Wednesday, the federal government will be testing a new emergency system. It will be different in at least three ways. One, it's nationwide. Two, it may last as long as 3.5 minutes. And three, the feds will actually take temporary control of all the airwaves. If they can take control of radio, TV, cable, and satellite systems for this, what's to prevent them from doing it in whole or part whenever they want? It's another expansion of the government into our everyday lives. The real test may be on our freedom.
Visit F2A.org for more commentaries and action steps, along with news, links, and much more for your state.
Yeah, or not. That one, you know, the Kenyan Muslim anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people, he's about to take over all of our mass media. Mm-hmm. Probably be creating that. You remember, you seen them videos. You seen them videos where he had all them little marching dark-skinned people out there talking about how they wanted it, but they was a marching and a chanting and a singing like some kind of bush warriors. And well, not that kind of bush. I ain't talking about George W. He's a godly man. No, that kind. And talking about how they's wanting to be architects and engineers when all the time, you know, that one was a trying to make sure that they was ready to go and be like Shaka Zulu warriors for him when he come to socialize white America. Remember all that? This is that. If they can take over our broadcast airwaves and keep us from hearing an off-key solo on America's Got Talent, what's next? Notice the name of the piece. Did you catch that at the very beginning? What's this doing on Prayer Meeting Wednesday, Bob?
With today's Faith to Action commentary.
Yeah, Faith to Action. You have to have faith that that one is assaulting our freedoms, brethren and sisters. Glory, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when the final episode of Desperate Housewives is interrupted by that one? On Wednesday, on prayer meeting Wednesday the 9th November. Holy Jesus, help us all. You might be in the middle of writing down the phone number so as you can order that new Paula Deen nonstick skillet from the QVC. And that Kenyan Muslim anti-colonial socialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people, why, he's liable to... You may not be able to get that skillet from Paula Deen. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, truly, brethren and sisters, we are living in the end times. It's going to be nationwide, so you won't even be able to call your sister. You won't even be able to call your sister out there in Busted Knuckle, Wyoming, and say, honey, would you order that Paula Deen skillet for me? Because the federal government is intruding into my life down here in left hand West Virginia, and I can't get my Paula Deen skillet. Will you order it for me, sister? You won't be able to do that because of this vast overreaching intrusion into our personal liberty lives. You won't be able to. Oh, and what if it happens when Pat Robertson's announcing the rapture? We won't know to get our clothes off and stand in the yard to fly up into the sky. That's how serious it is. Because he's no Christian, you know he's a Muslim. That's how they operate, these polytheistic Muslims. Glory, hallelujah. God, I wish this was The Onion. There are so many nights that I wish I could say, hey, I'm just kidding, I read that off The Onion. It's not real. It's real. I knew I would conjure Corey with the story, oh dear, of David Williams, gubernatorial Republican right wing candidate for the Commonwealth of Kentucky's governor's office. David Williams, I knew I'd conjure Corey, for Corey liveth in the free state of Louisville. The righteous David Williams is standing up for the families of the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, praise Jeebus, by denying the people of the great Commonwealth of Kentucky the right to amend the state constitution to allow for casinos by putting it to a vote. Never mind that the great honorable David Williams has been seen crossing the river and frequenting southern Indiana's riverboat and freestanding casinos. Word has it gambling debts caused his divorce. And by the way, P.S., Jerry Abramson is Steve Beshear's lieutenant governor running mate and just happens to be a little bit Jewish. And the city of Louisville's former mayor for life. Dog whistle much, Mr. Williams. Oh, ain't that the truth? News Ninja Susan writing in, she says, I have this, witches, I have this video on my hard drive and would have used it to get into Canada as a refugee if she had gotten into power. Godzilla from Wasilla being anointed. Yeah, you can always win with a reference to WKRP. Thanks, Jack. WKRP was one of my all-time favorite shows. Les Nessman's the king of all screw-ups. What a character. But all of those characters. Well, congratulations on that. Congratulations on that proud pig, Les. That's the silver sow, Johnny. Right, you are, Les. You know, it wasn't the same when they tried to bring it, resurrect it. But God. Oh, what a show that was. And, you know, a lot of people, well, no, I'm not going to go there. It just goes to show me the Philistine that I am. Yeah, honest to God, though. I mean, really. The hell's wrong with people in Kentucky? Because there are, I mean, understand that even if Governor Beshear just trounces this David Williams creep, David Williams will still have votes that measure in the tens of thousands. And as a consequence, I mean, Jesus. This is 21st century America. This is America bulging at the seams with its bigotries and its prejudices on proud display. So what if some guys from India with 250 jobs to pass out want to do a little feng shui with some curry on the side? What's the big damn deal? Me, I'm thinking Kentucky will be the better. For having a little bit more variety added to it. This is an aside. I don't watch a lot of television, but when I finally got to walk into the rest of the house last night, Agnes was watching some show on the Food Network called Chopped. And I guess it's kind of like who's going to be the next hot dog chef or whatever. And there was a chef from Kentucky who, honest to God, I kid. Now, there was a Chinese guy who was doing, you know, brilliant stuff. And there was another dude who was doing, you know, really kind of fusion arty stuff. And another guy, he didn't make it past the big mystery basket that had the sea urchin roe and fruit cocktail in it. You know, you open that and you just go, well, F me. Fruit cocktail and sea urchin roe. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? Bless her heart, the woman from Kentucky deep-fried the sea urchin roe. No kidding. She battered it and deep-fried the sea urchin roe. Then she had some Hawaiian sea bass, and she garnished it with some purple potatoes that she'd mandolined into little thin slivers and fried them, too, and she fried the fish. You know, I'm thinking Kentucky's going to benefit by a little vindaloo. It's idolatry. I will never forget the episode of The Simpsons where Homer walked into the Quickie Mart and walking past Apu's icon of Ganesh said, "How's it going, Ganesh? You want a peanut?" And the proprietor, Apu Nahasapeena Petawan, said, "Oh, please do not offer my god a peanut. Disrespectful." And of course, when people complain about polytheism, it displays such a profound lack of understanding of the nature of avatars. One of the things that the Spaniards were so surprised by when they got to the New World was that, you know, those Indians had all them hateful bloody gods. But they were all manifestations of the one supreme god known as Tonatiuh, which was the sun. They were just avatars. They were just different ways that the god was god. But that wasn't enough to save them. They were burned at the stake and beaten and disease, killed by disease and enslaved and branded and murdered. In the name of the Prince of Peace! Hooray! We ain't done. Not by a long shot. You know what, Marty? I wouldn't even know where to find Gordon Ramsay. I don't think he's on my little two dented tomato cans and a string the cable system. Tim from L.A. asking, is there a relationship with between Kentucky and Georgia when it comes to stupidity? With another story. Out of Georgia today. Another one of those isolated incidents, nothing to see here, move along. By the way, did you know those Occupy people are socialists? Federal agents, this from the CNN story, federal agents charged four Georgia men they say are part of a fringe militia group. That's because they all wear jackets with fringe on them and little coonskin hats. I hate journalism writing sometimes. I mean, I just effing hate it. Federal agents charged four Georgia men they say are part of a fringe militia group with plotting to attack government officials with explosives and the biotoxin ricin, prosecutors in Atlanta announced Tuesday. A government informant. See, I hate that, because there was another story out about the, what are they called, the Libertyville Seven? Five out of the seven have lost their appeal or whatever. Those were the guys somewhere near Miami where a bunch of feds showed up and said, "Hey, guys, if we give you some tennis shoes, will you join up with Al-Qaeda and blow up the Sears Tower?" "Yeah, sure." What an idiot. "You're under arrest." Yeah, so, but they made the prosecution stick. God almighty. A government informant recorded the men. Now, see, even though it says government informant, I'm more likely to believe this because it's a bunch of dangerous white guys. Remember, after all, that the most dangerous people on the entire planet have throughout the history of said planet been, everybody, white guys. A government informant recorded the men discussing plans to manufacture ricin, a highly poisonous substance derived from castor beans, from whence we also get castor oil, and attack Justice Department officials, federal judges, and Internal Revenue Service agents, according to court papers released Tuesday afternoon. The arrest affidavit quotes one of the defendants, 67-year-old Dan Roberts. You know, there's some of this crap that only the grave can solve. And I don't mean by intent. I mean, just let that generation go. Let them go. When it comes time to saving the Constitution, that means some people gotta die. That's what 67-year-old Dan Roberts had to say. Of course, he also later screamed, "Get off my lawn!" Roberts and 73-year-old Frederick Thomas agreed to buy a silencer, a bomb, and parts to convert a semi-automatic rifle to a fully automatic machine gun from an undercover agent. Well, okay, so they're 73 and they're 67, and I don't doubt for a minute these good redneck boys could probably do it all. Hell, they could take the rusting hulk of a 52 Buick and turn it into a damn race car. They're redneck southern fellers. They're good at that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, 65-year-old Ray Adams and 68-year-old Samuel Crump, you know, I'm guessing the recruiting plan is, we need to get some of them young fellers, you know, 59-year-olds. You ready to march on the federal government there, Frederick? Well, I'd love to, but my lumbago's acting up. Well, how about you, Dan? Well, damn it, I'd be happy to march, but my hip replacement just got recalled. But you do have to, you can't just, okay, I'm making light of it. But no, these are deadly white southern rednecks. These are, come on, everybody, we've been talking about nullification and the overarching desire of the southern states, Jesus land, and their affiliates in the West and the Midwest and the upper Midwest, Idaho, we haven't forgot about you. To try to break away. These are secessionists. And they are white, and they are Christian. U.S. Attorney Sally Quillian Yates issued a written statement announcing the arrests and said, "While many are focused on the threat posed by international violent extremists, this case demonstrates that we must also remain vigilant in protecting our country from citizens within our own borders who threaten our safety and security." Frederick Thomas is quoted also as saying, "I could shoot ATF and IRS all day long. All the judges and the DOJ and the attorneys and the prosecutors." Secessionists. Recognize them for what they are. They are domestic terrorists? Yes. And we're going to have a little laugh because they're geriatric domestic terrorists. But they are of an age to have been profoundly pissed off, you know, when them people started drinking from our water fountains. And that generation simply must be allowed to die off so that eventually, math, it's never a good thing. But the best of my understanding, if you divide 100 by 2, it's 50, by 2 is 25, by 2 is 12 and a half, by 2 is 6 and a quarter, by 2 is 3 and an eighth, by 2 is... Jesus, I can't fractionalize that. But the thing is, you can keep dividing down, but you ain't never going to get to zero. But still, let these generations, hopefully, with the passage of these generations, eventually they will get to such a small number that they will no longer be relevant. We hope. We can only hope. But yeah, we have our fun, but remember, they walk among us. And they mean to hurt people. Truly they do. And they're scary. During an April meeting at his home, Thomas, the 73-year-old, allegedly told participants he had a bucket list of politicians, government officials, corporate leaders, and media figures he said should be targeted to make the country right again. Now, do I need to, because you're probably already ahead of me, but I'll go ahead and mention it. Do I need to remind you that Bernie Goldberg actually put out such a hit list a few years back? 100 people who are ruining America? Had people like Michael Moore on it? I think Nancy Pelosi was probably, you know, the usual suspects. But unfortunately, there's nothing in this article to discuss or to explain or to expand upon what make the country right again means, or who the media figures that need to be taken out are. But you know and I know, don't we? We don't need to call and chase down the voters' registrations for these clowns, do we? God knows the for-profit media won't do that. Because they still see, well, it's an isolated incident. It ain't got nothing to do with anybody's politics, for God's sakes. And it probably doesn't have anything to do with their religion either. But nonetheless, these little bastards are probably in the pews every blessed Sunday. But they did begin physical training to prepare for their plans. There's a Monty Python skit. As far as the ricin is concerned, it's said that they had some of the ingredients that were necessary, but not all of the ingredients. Among other things, they said that, dump that little thing. That's all you got to do is lay it on the damn road. The cars are going to spread it. That is from, that's a statement made by Monsieur Crump, Samuel Crump, 68 years old. One of the ones said to have been working to obtain the castor beans. Because, I mean, you really do understand what their gripe is. Their gripe is that they, even if they don't have the brains to, say it for themselves, they are dinosaurs who realize that they are dinosaurs. They know that we are going to live in a multiracial, multicultural country. They probably couldn't tell you 2022 and 2044, but those are the numbers. When white folks, 2022, white young people will no longer be the predominant demographic of young people. 2044, white people will no longer be the predominant majority in the United States. And these neo-Confederate clowns know it. And all they can do is command the tide not to come in. And they are terrified. So there's that. And there are other stories as well. But before I end the filibobster, this is serious. I ain't kidding when I say, if there are children in the room, tell them to leave. If you are listening to this via podcast and you happen to be sitting in your cubicle at work, go to headphones or turn it off. This is not safe for work. This is not easy to listen to. But this is one of those moments when I am kind of proud to only be on the internet, because we can have this conversation. You see, government-censored, for-profit media cannot play for you what I'm about to play for you. There are words in what I am in the audio I'm about to play for you that are not allowed to be heard by the American people, even in the direct context in which it occurred. Remember when they had to beep George Bush's dirty words when he was at that conference in Europe and didn't realize he was sitting behind a hot mic? Yeah. Well, this is a lot worse than that. Once again, this is a story of someone who, and you know, when you manifest these attitudes, you know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that the Dr. James Dobson, who couldn't put a Band-Aid on somebody without coming near killing them, Dr. James Dobson of the Focus on the Family. This is the kind of thing that he approved of when he wrote or said or both that one should beat children until they cry real tears. This is the story of a 16-year-old girl the daughter of a judge. Some of you have already seen this, most likely. I tweeted it earlier. Hillary Adams was the young woman's name when she shot this video 7 years ago. When she shot the video 7 years ago, she was a 16-year-old dealing with ataxic cerebral palsy. Because she had some motion limitations, she became enamored of technology, and she wanted a computer. Her father, the judge, was adamant about her not engaging in file sharing because of the frenzy that was perpetrated in this country over it. And I think back to the Jeremy ads that Flush Flimball, that drug-addled freak. What was it? Impotent pill-popping propagandist. Thank you, Mike Stark. Engaged in. Well, these kids out there just, they think everything is free. They can just have it for themselves and share it among them, and nobody's getting paid. As noted last night, it's a complicated issue. Upstanding, God-fearing Christian Judge William Adams had no problem with it being a complicated issue. He saw it as clear as day. Black and white, right and wrong. Hillary Adams had apparently used a file-sharing service to download a video game and was commanded to remove the file sharer from her machine, and then she went back and did it again. Again, this was 7 years ago, but it has only now been released because her father is still verbally abusing her. Thank God now it's only verbal because the young woman is safe. She grew tired of what she was putting up with from her father, and one evening set up a video camera. And what you were about to hear is the audio, 7 minutes and 35 seconds of it, that she recorded. I'm going to play it without comment and without interruption, because, as I said, this is one of those rare moments when the horn can do something that no other broadcast outlet, no matter the millions paid to the hosts, can do. You will not be able to hear in for-profit, censored, federally sanctioned broadcast media the actual content you're about to hear on the horn. Again, if there are children in the room, get them out. If you are upset by this kind of thing, turn down the speakers. But if you want to deal with reality, listen.
Okay, go get my belt. Go get the big one.
I've already spanked.
I'm going to spank her now.
Yeah, it is. Apparently that's why you do it.
What is?
That's why you reinstall it, because you don't think it's a big deal.
No, it's a lot easier than that. I'm sorry.
I don't care if it's a lot easier.
Get Allison out of the room. Get over here. Bend over that bed.
Dad?
Bend over that bed. Bend over the bed. Oh. Bend over the bed. Bend over the bed. I'm going to keep getting you on your legs. Bend over the bed. Stand up. Stand up. Bend over the bed. Bend over the fucking bed. Darn it. Bend over, like I said, damn it. Get up and bend over the fucking head. Lay down, I'll break your fucking face. Roll over. And get on fucking. I told you to take that fucking thing off your chair.
Here. You turn over. One time. You get over on your stomach and you let me spank you on the butt.
Give us more.
No. You turn over, I'm going to spank you on your butt. You turn over like a 16-year-old and take it like a grown woman. Turn over.
She won't. She's disobedient.
No.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it to me.
Turn over.
I'll go get another.
Turn over. Get on your butt now. All the way on your stomach. Thank you.
I had to stop it for a minute. I'm sorry, I offered it. I said I was going to offer it without interruption. But I had to stop. I'll pick it back up. Just as quick as I can pull myself together. Try this again.
I never got my lick in on her. Get on your fucking stomach on the bed, now. Get on the stomach or I'm going to start beating you again.
Get on your stomach.
Get on your stomach,
get
I said.
Get on your stomach. Get on your goddamn stomach.
Get on your stomach.
Get on your stomach. That's
it. Beat you into submission. You want to put some more computer games on? You want some more? Fucking computer. I told you I didn't even want one in the goddamn house. See all the problem they caused?
I do.
All the fucking problem they caused.
And I told her, take your credit by exam. I don't think you should. She wanted to, okay? She made the decision. I didn't want her to take them any longer because I do believe she's too immature. And it has caused nothing but arguments and fights since we got it back.
Are you happy? Huh? Disobeying your parents? See what it'll do? Is it fun to disobey your mom and dad? Huh?
No.
You don't deserve to fucking be in this house. Disobedient. What happened to you, Hillary? Once you were an obedient, nice little girl. Now you lie, cheat, and steal. Putting the fucking game in the net. I'll just keep beating you and beating you. That's how upset I am. Too much, Will Buck? 6 months. 6 fucking months. Got it? Got it? If I hear so much as you raise your fucking voice in a little bit to me or your mother with the wrong tone, or if you do one little thing wrong, you look at me fucking wrong, I'm going to take you in there and wear your fucking ass out with this belt. You understand me? That's what it's come to. That's what it's come to. Got it? Are you happy?
No.
You've caused this. But you're just fucking obedience. You know I'm not going to put up with it, don't you? Did you think I was fooling?
No, sir.
Do you think I fool around?
No, sir. I told you, don't put Kazala on your computer. And you know what I'm telling you now? Are you listening?
Yes, ma'am.
Don't touch one other thing on your computer besides your schoolwork until you are given notice otherwise. Is that understood? Okay, good night. Now I will leave you alone. You're sleeping on my couch in Allison's room. Get a blanket and go down there.
How am I going to wake up?
I have an alarm down there. Get your blanket and go down there.
There you have it. Judge Adams, Administrator of Justice in, of course, the great state of Texas, who hears cases, among other things, dealing with child abuse in Aransas County. Court at Law Judge William Adams, screaming invective and obscenities at his own daughter and beating her with what he described as the big belt. Let me share with you some of the words, some of the writings, because judges do have to write after all. Let me share with you some of the writings of Judge Adams. Family law often concerns itself with the amorphous concept of best interests of the child. Some have complained that this term is too undefined to provide reasonable guidance in judicial proceedings. No, these aren't his words. Got this on the fly. These are based upon his holdings. This is from something that claims Judge William Adams, a jurist ahead of his time. I think that's facetious. Never mind. Let the thing stand on its own. Apparently the board that regulates judges, and you know right-wingers don't like that regulation, has been notified of this. Again, 7 years ago, 7 years that Hillary Adams hid this and lived in terrified silence. She said she finally went public with it because the abuse never ended. By the way, asked about this piece of video evidence, William Adams, the Honorable William Adams, responded, "It wasn't near as bad as it looked on the tape." No kidding. Did you hear that beat you into submission line? All of that verbalism is straight out of Christianity. Right-wing fundamentalist Christianity. Well, minus the dirty words. But understand something. This is the great failing of Christianity. Because Christianity says all you have to do is ask invisible Jesus to forgive you, and you are forgiven. I'm sure Judge Adams was forgiven a long time ago. I know it was hard to listen to. And I thought long and hard about whether or not to run this. Maybe just mention it. But then I thought about how it would be treated on CNN and Fox and God knows that twit, that guarantees guilty verdicts on headline news, and I thought about how it would be treated on Dr. Phil. And I realized that in not one single instance would the absolute reality of this be made public. That in fact, this medium upon which the horn operates, the internet, is the last place on the planet, with the exception of maybe, oh, I don't know if HBO ever gets around to doing a story about it. where it could be heard in its entirety and in its actuality and in its full hatefulness. This judge, this man who sits in the seat of judgment of other human beings, beating mercilessly, relentlessly, remorselessly his own daughter. Did you hear him come back in? I didn't get my licks in. And the wife and mother, codependently participatory in the process, trying to step in and saying, honey, if you'll just turn over, I'll just beat you once, and that'll be the end of it. But the monster overruled her. And one other question. Bearing in mind that this entire incident, in its particularity, springs, yes, from the sick mind of William Adams, the Honorable William Adams. Bearing that in mind, that he is first and foremost responsible in all of this, still, one question obtains, and I think it's a fair one. Somebody needs to ask the members of Metallica, Lars, if this is what they intended when they started raising their stink over, oh, what was the name of the file sharing service? If getting their due royalties was worth us sitting through a 16-year-old child with CP being beaten over it. Agree or disagree, they deserve, Metallica deserves, and the rest of them deserve to get to answer the question. Is this what you wanted? Gotta remember, in the Old Testament, it says, stone disobedient children. I guess Hillary Adams should count herself lucky. Kate just says, sent me an email. I just walked in the door and heard a replay of what my home sounded like all through my childhood. What the F was that? Just what I needed. Well, Kate, that was the sound of an upstanding, God-fearing Texan Christian beating the hell out of his daughter over file sharing on the computer. But if it's not file sharing. She was beaten over other things as well. She set that camera up after getting tired of the beating. Over everything. I don't advocate for the death penalty. But it's hard not to think that a little dose of his own medicine would be awfully beneficial for Judge Adams. Patty, writing in, oh, Bob, I really thought the audio of this child would not bother me too much, but damn, I lived that almost exactly on a nightly basis until I left home. Okay, ran away. At the age of 14, when my dad, who was, by the way, Mayor Daley's private attorney, put my braces through my cheek. The only real difference between that audio and my life, for the most part, under 14 years, was that my mom ran and hid as the shit hit the fan and never reappeared until she was sure the SOB had passed out. She then helped me until the next round evening when he got home. She did help me get out at the end of it all and made sure my place to stay was safe, and after he was gone in the following morning and took me to the doctor to make sure my cheek and teeth would heal okay, I could tell you stories that'd make your hair stand on end. My childhood made me never able to even raise an open hand to my kids and or my voice to them. I guess it could have gone either way. People like that, MF-er and my dad, always blame it on how they were raised or abused. Shit. Love and hugs. Patty. Mark from Florida writing in, this, economic, chauvinistic, complicit, sexual, child abuse, all in a very red state. This is not to say that these horrors don't occur in the places that are deemed blue. But there are some places that make it more likely to happen. Kim writing in, she says, as Ray and I sit here with our 12-year-old granddaughter who is in my custody, we're very uneasy hearing this. I look at the precious child on the couch, drowned in her own world of computers and online talking, and we're both thinking, what kind of human can do this to a child? Well, there's your answer, Kim. What kind of human can do this to a child? Sometimes the definition of humanity is not two legs, two arms, and big primate brain. Sometimes the definition of human is something a little more esoteric. This man is clearly a black-robed sociopath who, in a very, very authoritarian state, has been placed in a position of authority by voters. Likely on the, well, I'm going to be tough on crime. It's just a pity we still ain't hanging people in Texas. Marty writing in, the death penalty lets those like Judge Adams off a bit too easy. But it's not as bad as it looks on tape. Don't you know? Jude writing in, God damn them, the people who thought they were parents. God damn them. He's probably a white SOB, God-fearing dominionist. I wouldn't take the bet, Jude. I'd lose if I said that he wasn't. He probably goes to a church where they talk about family values, and he probably don't want to see none of them homosexuals getting married, because they'll destroy the traditional, upstanding, God-fearing family unit. Because it's the foundation upon which our great nation is based. Reverbo, proof there is a God, not a God of love or the benevolent possum goddess, or any spirit of peace, but their God, the God of hate and pain, the God who evidently lights those flames that these hateful hypocrites feel licking their ankles every waking moment of their disgraceful lives, and one hopes every moment of their dreams. It's too bad they won't be raptured away and leave the rest of us in peace. Well, the filibobster has run a little bit longer than I had planned for it to do, but I had to get that out there to you. And again, please understand. When I make decisions to run something like this, it is not to hurt or to dredge up old pains or old horrors, but it is because the only place left where you can hear this sort of thing, where this can be treated as broadcastable, is on the internet. Plain and simple. News Ninja Susan, Bob, I don't want him dead. I want some hacker to get into the PA system of every place that man makes a public statement. And what comes over the speakers is not the crap out of his mouth, but the sound of his little girl's screams as he beats her. Jack in Shreveport, And you just know that that judge would cower and cry like a little baby when faced with power more forceful than his. That's what bullies do. And then Michael from Sebastopol. My son has CP. If I thought that way toward my son, my wife, his mother, would tear me up. Have charges been filed about this guy? The Texas Judicial Commission, or whatever it's called, has been notified. The civil servants, none of whom are at fault in this, in Aransas County, Texas, are begging people to stop calling. The police department is begging people to stop calling. Because this has created such an outcry. And law enforcement saying, well, you know, there's no point in calling until the investigation is complete. I don't see any point in issuing threats toward this monster. But I also, their website crashed from all the traffic the counties did. But I don't see any harm in making sure that they know that this thing is being watched, not just nationally, but internationally. And that this is one of those little tests of the American judicial system that will not be graded on A through F, but is simply pass-fail. And that anything that allows this man to continue wearing that black robe and sitting in the ultimate judgment of others constitutes a grade of fail. Kate writing back, thanks, Patty. I went through the same thing. The scars on my back from the razor strop buckle are still on my back. He was raised in the same violent situation, had PTSD and an alcoholic who didn't drink. I'm so grateful he wasn't a damned Christian. He'd probably killed me in the name of Jesus. I've been blessedly an orphan for over 10 years now. Yeehaw. Finally. Signed, Kate. So we'll take a break. Your phone calls, of course, are welcome. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, HEADON, head on. If you want to save us the cost of the toll calls, it's 304-658-3333. Email comes in, as you can obviously tell, to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. This is The Horn. We'll be back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Cool Genius, it's not your mother's soap.
Hey dude, wait 1 second, it's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius, it's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Bubble Genius, we got your soap right here.
And don't worry about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try
to save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Never get the sense. I wore when I was little because my hands were always pulled up like that. Like that.
This toy piano? Wait. I got this toy piano right... Be quiet. I got this toy piano right before I turned 1 year old.
And those are the piano stylings. Thank you, David from Maine, with Hillary Adams. The girl you heard being beaten just a short time ago. That last little, those last few notes, she was playing in church her family faithfully attends. Now think about those beatings again. And wonder at the number of beatings she endured. And why. And the monster who administered them. A little background work during the break. An account from a child custody hearing held by Judge William Adams. By a lawyer who was before Judge Adams in the court. Judge Adams did rule that it was irrelevant that a child care provider hired by the father of a child in a child custody dispute. Judge Adams ruled that it was irrelevant that the provider is homicidal, psychotic, suicidal, etc. And it really happened. It's also true that Judge Adams refused to listen to the outcry of a boy, 5 years old, nearly six, that he was being told to lie about his mother, setting her up for false criminal prosecution. It is also true that this conversation was corroborated. Waiters at the restaurant corroborated that the boy and the father were there, along with roughly the correct number of adults. The boy's testimony has been recorded twice on videotape, including by a child psychologist. The judge not only ignored the boy's testimony, but claimed it didn't even exist. He said there was no evidence when there obviously was. There was no legal basis for ignoring this boy's testimony, and none was argued other than that the children fantasize. Obviously, children are believed by the courts all the time, including in the most serious of matters. That is what happened in the case. On October 11, 2010, Judge Adams had a bad day. He held, one, that it is irrelevant that a child care provider is homicidal, suicidal, heavily drugged, psychotic. Two, held that there is no evidence of a meeting where the child was induced to lie about his mother. Three, held that it is abusive to seek professional writings of professional witnesses, something that nearly all articles and books on cross-examination say is essential for good examination. And that is just a partial list. It was a very bad day for him. Jesus Christ. Suffer the children indeed. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Hello? Welcome to the program. Hopefully they will call back. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Susan.
Well, a couple things. First of all, the file sharing service was Napster.
Yeah. In her case, it was Kazaa.
Yeah. And that is why I will never, ever, ever buy, and this has been going on for a long time, I will never buy a commercially produced CD or record. Ever. I'll buy indie ones. Those I'll pay for cheerfully. I'll go up on the net and shell out with great, great amounts of glee. I will do without. The other artists, well, they're out of luck. They ain't getting my money if they're signed with a big label because of RIA and their lawsuits.
And, I mean, you know what was in the back of the judge's mind, right? He never foresaw headlines saying Judge Beats Daughter. He foresaw headlines saying Judge's Daughter Caught Downloading Music.
Right. Now, here's
what the hell she need to download music? We spent 16 years teaching her to play her own.
Yeah, here's another thing. I used to think that if you looked up enabler in the dictionary, it would have my mother's picture next to it, next to the word, after my father drank himself to death. No, actually, it's this girl's mother. And what I want to know is this. Why isn't this woman in jail?
Well, even Hillary Adams herself, Susan, has posted, you know, she initially posted this to Reddit, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it because the abuse never stopped.
Yeah.
But she also said that her mother is blameless in this.
Well, ever heard of battered wife or battered child syndrome?
Sure.
Yeah, here is the statement from Hallie Adams, Hillary's mother. Listen for the tones. I'll read it to you. It's very short. I am praying for my daughters. Apparently she's got more than one.
Yeah, there's a little tiny toddler who was rushed out of the room just before the beating began.
Yeah, I am praying for my daughters and me and my family to heal in all ways from emotional and physical abuse, for the current and continuing abuse of my children and me that has been ongoing to end starting now, for my daughters to both finally be able to go to counseling both individually and as a family group with their dad's approval, encouragement, involvement, and support, for him to finally make amends to all of us, talk openly with us, and take the first steps to letting our broken family heal. She wants him back.
Well, wait, Susan. It's beyond she wants him back. It's far beyond that. This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, after all, right? You have to remember that within right-wing religious fundamentalist circles, divorce is frowned upon deeply. Wait.
Yeah.
You have to remember, for instance, that in one state to the north, to wit, Arkansas, former Governor Mike Huckabee got initiated there a Christianized version of divorce in which women were supposed to take their beatings. Now, remember, within, you know, this cannot be considered exclusive of or independent of the fundamental nature of Christianity, okay?
And
Christianity says that wives are to submit themselves unto their husband, as does the church unto Christ.
Yeah.
There are untold stories like this throughout the Southern Baptist Convention, and throughout the Church of Christ, and throughout the Methodist Church.
People, I wonder, wonder what would happen if somebody went down with, say, oh, a great big packing case full of DVDs of The Burning Bed and started handing them out to women.
Nothing. Nothing. It takes so much to get one of these fundamentalist wives away from their abuser that it's almost impossible to comprehend. You know, that's why the statistic was, if it's not even worse by now, and this is back in the 90s, that a battered woman, and these statistics are probably more applicable in Jesus land than they are in the so-called blue states, but a battered woman will leave and return or charge and drop charges against her batterer no less than 7 times, Susan, before mm-hmm. she either leaves for good or he
or
kills her.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these stories are all out there. You know, we have a little bit of fun now and then by playing that Drive-By Truckers song, that wig he made her wear, okay? That comes from a real, live true story in Selmer, Tennessee, in which a wife with precious little children, whose husband was the pastor of a Church of Christ in Selmer, Tennessee. Remember Walking Tall? Remember Buford Pusser? That's Selmer, Tennessee. And she shot him at point blank range in the back with a 12 gauge shotgun because of the hell that he had put her through. And you know what? The entire jury basically let her off of, you know, she was convicted, but she served on a lesser included offense. They let her off of murder one when the defense introduced the wig and the platform shoes that that daddy couldn't have sex with her without her wearing. He being, of course, a fundamentalist, dominionist, Christianist, follower of the Prince of Peace.
Yeah. I was part of an online community of romance readers, believe it or not. And one of our readers was gone for quite a while, and we got concerned. Finally got back on, and she started giving us weird answers. And a lot of us, having been through the same thing, we started asking pointed questions, and somebody nearby finally made it a point to go see her when her husband was at work. And, yeah, we were right. We ended up doing? She was in Virginia. We ended up providing a series of safe houses for her and her kids all the way across the country. She's in Portland. We moved her piece by piece.
Well, this bit of horror out of Aransas County, Texas.
If we didn't know what was going on with that girl, we'd have tried the same thing with her.
Yeah, but this is
like
apparently this is apparently awakened a lot for a lot of people.
We have to get together and we have to start supporting each other, because let's face it.
Don't say that he's crazy, Susan. I'm not being cranky or anything, but don't give him the luxury of crazy.
Okay, let me put it this way. These expletive deleted
monsters
down there. Yeah, monsters. They have this support network. It's called the Good Old Boy Network. And then a lot of times, what's also tied into the Good Old Boy Network and helping to keep these women down are their own mothers. Witness this girl's mother. The trick is you've got to get them away from their family. If you get them away from their family, that's busily tell them it's a Christian woman's duty.
Then I recall evenings when Rick Goodner and I would talk. Horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, who, of course, does his work in the heart of Texas Stan, Jesus Land.
I'm surprised poor Rick hasn't gone completely compulsion.
And one of the things that Rick said first and foremost is if you want to break the chain of abuse, if you want to stop someone being abused before they are killed, you have to not only get them away from the abuser, you have to get them out of the church. Because the church facilitates the abuse.
Yeah, exactly. Get them away from their church, their family.
You know, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that you don't just read? Isn't it interesting that you don't just read a whole bunch of stories about pedophiles and child abusers being uncovered in Universalist Unitarian churches? I'm sure it probably has happened at some point in time, but not nearly with the frequency that it does in these authoritarian fundamentalist claverns. Because abusers gravitate to that authoritarian mindset and that authoritarian social and cultural structure because it not only hides them, it rewards them.
Yeah, and like you said, sure, there are people, there are abusers in blue areas. There are abusers in every state. The thing is, in blue states, we don't put them up as judges, or if they are judges, the minute they're found out, we hand them their heads.
You know, the other thing is that there will not be any real journalism about this case. Beyond the bare reporting, there will be no focus on the fact that this guy is likely a Republican. There will be no reporting on where this guy goes to church. And you know what? Even as we speak, this really is Wednesday night. And this Wednesday night, somewhere in Texas, there is a church in turmoil. Nah, he's not in church, but the church is having a deacon's meeting trying to figure out what to do about it. And I guarantee you the answer.
They're not going to do anything.
Jesus calls upon us to forgive first and foremost. And we must be prepared to forgive him, as must his wife and children be prepared to forgive him.
I really hope that daughter of his never, ever allows herself to get anywhere within two states of him, because he'll kill her.
Well, she is said at least to be safe. Remember, she is 23 years old now.
Yeah, I don't know where she is. I don't want to know where she is. I just want to know she is out of his reach. I hope that younger sister of hers gets the hell out. Because
that's the one that, because there she is. You know, she was 16 at the time this video was shot, and the little girl was a toddler. I would say 14 years younger. That means that the father probably still has some degree of access. That's speculation, but probably has some degree of access to that child.
And you can bet your bippy he's wailing away on her.
Well, if apparently the mother is no longer in the home.
But that doesn't mean she's going to stop him.
Well, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have custody rights.
Yeah, and from what I've been reading on the internet about this dude and his custody decisions, oh my word.
But you know what? They're everywhere. I know of a guy who served as a circuit judge here in West Virginia who once looked at a Jewish lawyer and said, you know, you got to give the Germans this much. They certainly took care of their children. He was talking about the Third Reich.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They didn't even do that properly. All they had to do was open up a history book.
And bless her heart, the lawyer looked at him and said, yeah, as long as they were blonde-haired and blue-eyed, Your Honor.
Yeah, God help the poor sods who were born with dark hair. They ended up in the camps.
But they're all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something sick about the human race.
No, there is something sick about the non-humans, the broken spirits, the broken brains, the broken souls that hide among the humans. And, of course, what breaks their spirits, what breaks their brains? 99% of the time,
religion.
Because religion provides them cover.
And I will say again what I have been saying since junior high school. The thing that has killed more Christians through the ages
It's other Christians.
It's other Christians. It's not infidels. It's not anything else. It's other Christians. Look it up, folks. All you have to do is open.
Oh, sure. It's like you're forever hearing some Christian with a persecution complex saying, well, you know, they fed our clearly Christians to the lions in the Colosseum.
No, they did.
Never happened. Hey, Susan, I got a roll. I'm gonna take a break for the top of the hour. This is a little bit stressful, I guess we'll say.
Yeah.
We'll talk soon.
Give my love to everybody.
Sure will. I think you just did.
And blessed be to certain people who need the blessings. And I really hope the lady hauls off and just wails on this dude.
It may be that she just has.
Good.
You know, it's not just this man upon whom there is now a spotlight. It is the judicial system of.
And I would say just go ahead and keep
Texas.
Calling. I'm going to be calling tomorrow.
The contact number for the Aransas County attorney, a guy by the name of Richard Bianchi, is area code 361-790-0114. That's area code 361-790-0114. All references to Judge the Honorable Judge Adams have been scrubbed from the Aransas County, Texas website.
Well, they're still going to be getting calls because they need to be told ever so politely, we are watching you, and we expect you to behave like civilized human beings.
Pretend it ain't Texas.
Yeah.
Susan, have a good night, dear.
Yeah, have a nice night.
Bye-bye. I'm going to take a little break. Been tough. By the way, just a couple of other notes. Michael, otherwise known as Lib in South Carolina, or SC in the chat room, says simply, sigh, I grew up in a family similar to that, good Christians. My stepdad retired as a naval officer. We children would hold our breath every afternoon waiting to see what mood he was in and make ourselves as invisible as possible on bad days. Minor offenses, like looking over my glasses at Dad at the dinner table, a sign of disrespect, would end up with my third-grade ass slapped literally to the floor. This happened at least once a month. In the fourth grade, I got bifocals, and Dad said, sorry about that. You know, because how it is with bifocals, you kind of got to, right. I'm still learning how to do that. I've got my first set of bifocals. Michael says, I honestly cannot remember any other excuses or transgressions for my many punishments. That audio brought back many suppressed memories. Thank you for playing it. And by the way, for those of you, if apologies are in order from me for running that, you have my sincere apology. Oops, I just did a conditional apology. Physician, heal thyself. We talked about those. In some ways, I'm sorry. Okay, that's conditional too. I don't regret running it. I hope I have not caused harm in so doing. I regret running it. I apologize for any harm in so doing. Because I don't want to be like them pig lickings last night who said, well, we apologize if anybody thought was offended by or horrified by a picture of the President of the United States with a bullet hole through his forehead and half his skull knocked off. If. I think you get my meaning. And look, this is not some sort of exercise in which you tell your memories and I sit impassively by. I'm broadcasting live from Appalachia, folks. In some ways, we wrote the book on this stuff. I never knew my maternal grandfather, but I've heard the stories of a sister who would run and hide in the barn when he was on one of his rages. The same thing happened in my paternal grandfather's family. Not just a little bit angry, but furious, like what you heard. And physical abuse doled out in heavy measure. If Agnes was back here, she would probably tell you the same thing. It is part and parcel of why we have tried to respond as we have with our children. Agnes might even tell you of the night that the Klan dragged her grandfather out in the yard and whipped him for abusing his family. We all, many of us, share a great deal more in the way of common horrors than we ever have the opportunity to share. But it's only it is when we hide from those horrors, and when we don't talk about them, well, that's when we, in our own way, empower others to perpetuate the horror. So, yeah. We have more in common than perhaps you know. We'll take a little break and come back. Hour number three. I guess that story sort of rendered us silent. But if you want to discuss that or any other thing, feel free. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 304-658-3333, or else I'll just fill a bobster for an hour. And I can do that too. Like falling off a log. This is The Horn.
begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
10 past the hour. Marty writing in says, don't apologize. The truth is indeed painful. Hearing, seeing, it is like going through the crucible. Fire burns, and the fire of truth tends to hurt. Clayton writing in, exactly how does my dog get his teeth into this bastard? He says, my stepfather and grandfather missed going to those church meetings, especially when I picked up the knife and joined the army. A lot of those same stories out there. Tell you what, let us not shilly-shally about any further, but rather go straight forward to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, I kind of missed the bulk of your show, so I missed the story that everyone seems to be so twisted about anyway.
Maybe it's just as well. You'll run across it sooner or later. Little girl in Texas she's a woman now, but who finally got around to posting the video she had of him beating her repeatedly, flogging her with a belt when she was 16 years old. She caught him on tape, and she just released it. Well, I mean, you know, he's a good, upstanding, fine Christian, and he's a judge.
Oh, I'm sure it's as horrible as it sounds. I was just calling because I noticed that they're starting to come out the woodwork, if I may digress to the superficial, the Kane story.
Oh.
Somebody else popped up.
Yeah, it went from 2 to 3 pretty quick, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and the thing is that, I mean, you know, he was creepy before, but he's even more disgusting now. It's like Clarence Thomas Reduck. I'm sorry, you know. And it's just, you know, a horrible sort of man with a bit of power, you know, preying on women. I mean, it's the same formula, isn't it?
Over and over. And frankly, it's not... It's not a digression. You know, you described it, Sandra, as a digression to the superficial, but it's not. The same impetus, the same sense of power over others leads to this kind of conduct, whether it's, you know, Herman Cain making some sort of disgusting remark to a woman who is economically and structurally his inferior in the workplace, or whether it's a judge beating the tar out of his 16-year-old piano prodigy, the cerebral palsy daughter.
Yeah, I mean, no, but it's just these horrible, disgusting men. Sorry, I don't want to sound like a man-hating person, but it's like, you know what? Can we not be so predictable? It's like, oh, I have a little power, now I'm going to abuse women. It's like, oh my God. You know, if it wasn't so horrible for the women, it would be just some horrible cliche. Because, I mean, look at this guy. You know what I mean? Ugh.
Oh, and just as a point of, I suppose, trivia, this is the superficial. I was reading a story last night about this whole thing with Herman Cain, and there was a thing where it said that he slipped in the back way to avoid reporters' questions for some sort of a meeting at Bobby Van's Steakhouse in D.C. So I just went, curious, scratchhead, and looked up Bobby Van's Steakhouse in D.C., where the porterhouse steak that feeds two is $48 per person, and the potatoes are sold a la carte. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's a man who really understands the people.
Well, no, I mean, he's just a lobbyist, isn't he? I mean, it turns out he's been a lobbyist. He ain't been no pizza person since the 80s, right?
Right. Yeah, no.
I mean, he's just sort of a appendix of the Koch brothers, right? I mean, that's what I hear.
Yeah, he's just another Koch brothers K Street hustler.
Well, the other reason why I had to call is because I'm like, that bitch coming on talking about our blacks? Are you kidding me? Our blacks.
What?
Ann Coulter.
Oh, no. Yeah, Jesus.
No, it's like, I'm just sitting there, lady, are you really going to be talking about our blacks? What the fuck?
Yeah, let's leave the possessive pronouns off in front of that noun, can we?
I mean, I don't, you know, the thing is, I'm just like, I always refer to myself as black because I'm not really into the African American because I never don't know nothing about Africa per se.
But, right.
And so I just call myself black just because I can't deal with it. But if to hear it out of her mouth, oh God, it just made me sick. She is so disgusting. I think I would just step to her and kick her ass, Bob. I wouldn't even say nothing. Just straight up, earrings off, bam. Lay her ass out. It would just be over. I couldn't handle it.
See, I'm so stupid. Are they clip-ons, or are we going to have to get the little post out and put it all back together? Because, you know, there's some time can be lost in that, Sandra.
Well, no, I have to keep them clip-on, and the hair would be dead, too. I would have to kick her ass. Oh, my God. But anyway, so that story really did me in, because I'm thinking, what year is it, and... You know that she.
Well, but see, she probably went to see what was the name of the movie that we decried that was the fake movie that set down in Mississippi, The Help.
Yeah, The Help, but also
she probably went to see that, and she feels all absolved now, and she ain't got no white guilt left.
Well, and also she's defending the we seek black people. You know that the Malcolm X speech was about the blacks who are like, well, how are we doing today? We seek, you know, when they. Referred to the master and they tie themselves all up in it. That is the type of, that's her black, as far as I can tell. I mean, the nerve. You know? And what are the blacks on the Democrat side? What are they?
Well, no, those are those blacks.
Oh, God. Well, no, didn't Cain say that we are still on the plantation?
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, anyway, I won't go on about him. He's just doing my head in. My other comment is, the never-ending drama that is Europe. Okay, so Germany and everybody just said, well, we ain't going to give you this money right here unless you agree to be in a depression for 10 years. So they had $8 billion coming. Just today, Merkel announced you can't have that unless you agree to, you know, to be in perpetual indebtedness and, live in a depression. So it should be interesting because now I just don't see the Greeks, you know, what? They're going to accept this money and accept depressionary type of conditions? I don't think so.
No, and you know, I had an email earlier today from our buddy Tosh, who listens in delay, and he sent me an email saying, you really hit one out of the park talking about Greece the other night, you and Sandra. When you asked, is this one of those moments when we might somehow imagine there being marching boots through the streets of Athens? And the reason Tosh said that is because he pointed out that when the Greeks finally did get their freedom, historically, you know, what, the end of the early part, late part of the 19th, early part of the 20th century, whenever it was, guess who provided them their first king? The Germans. Send them a little princeling to rule the country.
No, I mean, the relationship, that's what I'm saying to hear from Merkel. I mean, you know, maybe we out here don't have no sense of history, but Europe is not really the same. So everything is loaded there. And I'm really hard-pressed to imagine if our Greek-American is stepping out and saying we're going to have a referendum and now he has support of his cabinet, why the hell now is he going to back down and say, oh, sure, we'll capitulate and take your $8 billion. Because, see, what's happening is they won't be able to pay their public sector workers now. I mean, this is pretty serious. But those are the same people who are out there battling in the streets. So, you know, I'm not too sure if this move is going to bring more solidarity to them. You know, the Europeans may think it may splinter, but it may not, because you know how long they've been going through this? This has been going on for like 2 years.
Right. Yeah. This is nothing, you know? Nothing new. And, you know, I saw the article saying that they're ready to run the drachma up the flagpole, you know, if it gets ugly. And then I've seen others saying, Sandra, and I'd be curious to see what you think, that this is, of course, all chess.
Well, the prime minister. Yeah. I mean, this move is another way to get them to maybe go to 80% haircut. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And that's what I mean.
Okay. And that could be. I mean, there is that. But, you know, I'm looking at the sort of pushback that he's getting from France and Germany. And once again, you need to be reminded that, not you, but in general, that it's their damn bank. So either they're going to destroy the Greek state and not get paid, or they're going to have their taxpayers bail them out. You see what I'm saying? What's happening?
Yes, I do.
Today, the German taxpayers are going to pay. This is the thing that is the missing conversation piece in this whole drama, is that the German taxpayers, they're going to pay. They're going to recapitalize their banks one way or another, or they're going to bail out Greece. You see what I'm saying? So,
is there not a third alternative, or everything falls apart?
Well, no, there is that. That's the way it seems. I mean, the thing is, of course, this is all speculation on my part, because who knows what's really going on. But I tell you, that motherfucking global that crashed, that's a canary. That ain't right. What happened right there? That's frightening, and I don't know what it portends.
And how many other debt holding houses are there on Wall Street that are teetering? Because if you go back and you think about the origins of the collapse in the final year of the Bush administration, when everybody said, well, everything's just wonderful,
they say that right up until it ain't. That's the thing about this. And also, the whole MF Global thing really shows how, you know, you got your money in some account relying on a system or an institution, and hey, that institution is the shakiest shit. You might as well have your money on some dealer on a corner. I mean, this is how...
Right, you'd be better off with the mattress stuffed.
This is how it's shaking out, because there's no reason anymore for you and I, as, like, say, a small saver, I'm just saying, to just depend on the federal insurance whatever department. Oh, they're going to cover me. Do you remember all that transfer from Merrill Lynch to B of A?
Yeah.
Apparently, those people get paid first, even before the savers.
What's it called? Primacy or marshalling of resources or something like that? Right.
Right. And, you know, the fact that institutions right now are able to sort of shift that sort of toxic shit onto taxpayer-protected entities of the same organizations, I mean, it's so troubling, but it really should make you understand that it ain't nothing safe going on here. This is just musical chairs, and everyone's sort of waiting for it to stop.
Right, and you know, the question presents itself, Sandra, if, and I realize we're going to have to go through a couple of speculative ifs on this, if Greece, if Papandreou is playing chess and he thinks, okay, they opened with an offer of 50%, maybe I can scare him out of another 25%, and it turns out that they don't blink, and, well, the next question is, what does that say to Italy? What does it say to Portugal? What does it say to Spain? What does it say to Ireland?
And Ireland and Portugal would be the ones that to watch next if Greece finds a way out of the Eurozone. And that's why Merkel and Sarkozy, fuck them, they bluffing big time. Because what the hell are they going to do? They're in it.
And see, it's not, you know, it's not just the Euro, it's all the other agreements that are incident to it. You know, let's say Greece bails out and, you know, starts coining drachmas. Well, can other Eurozone countries retaliate economically with embargoes or stuff like things like that? Because I don't think they can.
Yeah, no, but it's not. It's just that, because everything is marked to magic, and they've decided that, wink, wink, the credit default swap market, oh, no, we're just ignoring you, when it should have triggered this past. A deal should have triggered some sort of event. I mean, like I said before, if you're in the credit default swap market, you know, your ass must be fucked up right now. Because you're like, wait a minute, you know, why isn't this working the way it should? So if you don't have a functioning credit default swap market, then the bond situation becomes real tenable, which is why you have spreads going all over the place, you know, because the market will soon realize that, oh, wait, that rule has been changed. I mean, so do you see what I'm saying? It's just a mess.
And the, you know, the thing that I take away from all of this is that, see, I keep thinking that option three is the one that's going to play out. Everything falls down. And you know, the Germans, the French, you know, it's kind of odd to see them on the same side for a change.
Well, it's time for us to bring out our Yeats. What was that poem about the center?
The center cannot hold. Yeah. What is that? Slumping toward Jerusalem or something?
Yeah. Right. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Anyway, I think it's about World War One. But at any rate, it applies to this madness. I don't know. I just am sort of. It just looks to be so ridiculously chaotic, and there has to be a really bad reason for them to be hammering a small state like Greece the way they are. And the only thing I can think of is all the third-party interest that spreads all the way to Wall Street.
Yeah, and the fact that if Greece, so to speak, gets away with it, who else will want to, too? I mean, because... You know, there are precedents for this. How many South American nations told the IMF to pound sand?
Yeah.
And did we invade Ecuador?
Right. And the thing is, and they were on life support until this last crash. You know that, right? The IMF.
Yeah.
They were completely irrelevant. Also, anyway, I must ask you what you think about, since we're still out of the U.S., the UNESCO. I was like, damn. You know what? That was a good. That was an interesting move for them to let the Palestinians become full members, and they basically told the U.S. "Fuck you and your 70 million." The problem for the U.S. now, though, is if their money ain't gonna do nothing, they're gonna be shut out of a major international institution that would be the U.N.
And me,
I've never seen such an asinine move in my life. From the U.S. point of view, it's like, damn.
Well, it's so scary, stupid. Too, because it plays into, you know, I don't know if you've seen them in California. God knows I've seen them in profusion, you know, here in Jesus land. But, you know, all those trucks with all those bumper stickers and, you know, the bumper's usually rusting and there's a couple of BB shots in the back glass. And, you know, there's another bumper sticker that says you can have my gun when you pry it from a couple of dead fingers. But, you know, these things are like, you know, mushrooms after a spring rain. You know, get us out of the UN. Because that's a principal talking point of the right wing and has been for years. And I'm just, and the Obama administration, is hogtied to a certain extent, are they not, Sandra?
Well, yeah.
By virtue of the fact that this law about.
Right, it's just from 15 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Right, but the thing is, though, yeah, and, I mean, you know, all that can still be circumvented. And the problem that I thought was interesting, because I was listening to, I forget who was talking about it, but, you know, there's other organizations that sort of will, in a domino effect, will shut out the U.S. One is, you know, international or copyright trips, you know, which is sort of the intellectual property thing for Google, Apple, and those types. So it could be some pushback with the U.S. Shooting itself in the foot and getting kicked out of these. UNESCO, come on, UNESCO protects, it's such a benign organization, you know what I mean?
Well, it's benign, and it's not benign because it is all wrapped up in stuff like intellectual property and trade issues and things like that. I think it was a humanitarian and a humane thing to admit the Palestinians into UNESCO. You know, the United States couldn't stop the General Assembly from certain actions. You know, it's only because, you know, the U.S. has no damn veto in UNESCO.
Well, no, I mean, it's, when I say benign, I mean, it's not, you know, it isn't like, the Security Council voting to recognize them as a state. It's such a, you know, it's a step, but it's a pretty minor step. And for the U.S. to have this, such a ridiculous, overreaching response to it, that's what I mean, to completely cut the money off again, siding up with the pariah state that is Israel. And I can transition. Have you heard reports that fool is trying to get it together to bomb Iran? Have you seen this?
Oh, God, yeah. And I saw another report today. Saying that Israeli officials have announced that the latest flotilla will damn sure not get through to Gaza.
Yeah, no, I know. I heard that there was a couple of them floating around. But
and how many Gazan Palestinians just got buried in the last couple of days? The civilians from Israeli air attacks on Gaza,
yeah.
who haven't air anti-aircraft battery number one. Let's remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's a bit of a worry. You know, the idea that Israel can try to shut down this nascent movement, and shut down is what it would try to do if all of a sudden we're at war. And I say we, because as Israel goes, we go.
Oh, yeah, the tail wags the dog, without a doubt.
If we're at war with Iran. And, you know, and I'm suspicious of the Obama administration. Remember, they had the fake car lot guy with the fake killing? Don't forget, all that stuff adds up. And you're like, well, it's an election coming, 20% unemployment, and he wants to get reelected. Well, let's see. Let's have a war.
Let's go. If we're going to go down that road, let's by all means factor in the bombing Iran would absolutely lock up Florida for Obama. It would. You know, he wouldn't have to worry about Florida being a contested election state.
Well, I mean, the thing is more interesting is how it would affect this Occupy Wall Street stuff, because that's why we didn't have nothing going full stop because of the 9/11. That kind of squashed everything for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, you know,
that would trigger the national security state.
Well,
there would be a big sweep.
I don't put anything past these oligarchs and the people who serve them, and that would be Obama, you know. Since we can frame everything in the 1%, 99%, thank God. I'm so happy for that meme. Yeah, that's how I'm looking at everything now.
And let's sort of keep in mind, Sandra, the fact that all along the right wing has been pushing, and they've really not let up, have been pushing this Occupy is an anti-Semitic organization. They've been pushing that hard, if you followed any of that. I loved it that there was there was one photograph I saw, probably over at Crooks and Liars, maybe at Think Progress, I can't recall which, but it was of some asshole at Occupy, and he had the usual libertarian poster about the Zionists in control of the banking industry at Wall Street, you know, and he's standing there, and there's another member of Occupy with a quickly made up sign on brown cardboard with black magic marker, just standing next to him with a sign that says asshole and an arrow drawn.
Right.
You know, they're doing what they can to tamp this crap down, but by the same token, the right wingers are doing everything they can to infiltrate, because they know that the for-profit media will run with a meme like that because it's sexy and fun. In Arizona, the skinhead neo-Nazis have shown up at, like, Occupy Phoenix.
I saw that video on YouTube, and I was like, ooh. That was disturbing. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
And the Occupy folks out there are doing their best. Get out. You're not welcome here. Goodbye.
Yeah. The thing is you know, the winter, I'm sure it has to calm down just by virtue of, I don't know how people can manage to sort of stay outside. But there's no reason why the springtime that this shit don't come back with a vengeance either. I mean, I just don't really see it going away, because the economic predations, I don't see them getting any better.
No.
So the response is still going to be, necessary. I mean, I haven't really been following what's going on in New York, except for Bloomberg trying to, you know, lying about the banks didn't cause the, housing crisis. Did you hear that?
Yeah, because only 84% of subprime mortgages were made by private banking houses. But
I mean, yeah,
only.
Come on. I don't know. And listen, I'll let you go. But the only other thing, did you manage to see the used car subprime?
Yeah, I did. The buy here, pay here story kind of blew my mind that was a story coming out of L.A. in a way, because you think, you know, that the L.A. General Assembly would probably maybe put the kibosh on that. But no, those things, you know, what is it, sell, repossess, resell.
Right, and up to 30% interest on the whatever financing you get. I mean, it's just hideous. I don't know. I just thought the meme was interesting because the guy is framing it in a way that, well, you're going to do anything because you need to get to your shitty job. And that's where they're...
The part that just laid me low, Sandra, was the quote about, well, we're actually helping people who are financially irresponsible be responsible.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, no. It's just the same predatory behavior towards, you know, working people. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know?
Right, so, because there is, there's that realization, and this goes back to our ongoing theme of they want it all. There is a realization that poor folks still have a little bit of money. And if poor folks still have a little money, that's a little bit of money that poor folks don't need to have, and that the 1% does.
Right, and you know, since everything can be sort of, everything is extracted because the usury laws were demolished. I mean, the thing is, there's always key court cases or legislation in this country that you can point to and say, ah, and then shit is out of control. And that one Supreme Court case when they said, oh, no, states can't set interest rates, blew it to hell. And we've been, the working people have been fucked ever since. I can't remember the name of the case, but it was just like, are you kidding me with this? You know, anyway, I don't know. I just.
Well, and there was one more case. We've got a proactive attorney general in this state who's not a bad guy. He's been there for a long time. His name's Daryl McGraw. People call him the general. He's a former Supreme Court justice here in this state. And he just brought an action against one of these out of state companies that advertised real hard, do you need cash right now? Call. One of those things, in which it turns out they were charging 99% interest.
Well, oh my God. And what did
And he shut them down.
Trying to close them?
He shut them down.
Because, you know, 99 is, some of them are up to 320. I know the some of the check cashing places, it's up to 320%.
Yeah, and see, that's one thing we don't have here in the state. We don't have the cash, the check cashing places, and we don't have the quick cash for your car title joints, you know, like you
well,
see
no,
on every corner in Las Vegas.
No, and that's in California now, too, because every day I hear them talking about to get a loan out on your piece of shit car, and it's kind of like, okay, so the housing boom is gone, people are broke, yet you have these new systems being moved in to extract what's left. I mean, it's just I just think it's out of control, and it's such a horrible reality, you know?
Well, the fact that there's no responsible pushback against it in the Congress, again, is proof positive that Congress is largely non-responsive.
Oh, no, it's completely non-responsive, and that's another reason why this sort of movement on the ground, you know, has to continue. And isn't it right on time from 1929? I mean, wasn't it about 3 years after that crash this kind of stuff happened in the 30s, right?
Yeah.
It's about the same damn. At any rate, I'm hoping, though, that this banking stuff don't go the same way as the Anschlatt or whatever the name of the Austrian banking thing, because that's, you know, that's just horrible. I mean, you know, because depression and then what? What came after that? You know, war and so.
Right. And that's what I was getting at about Europe the other night. We tend to think that they've gotten past all that bloodthirsty. No.
No, if they go into depression or if the economy is laid again, there's no reason why the same type of dynamics can't be fostered. You know that the sort of far right is always lurking in Europe. It's just there, always waiting, like a spider, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the fact that, for instance, Nazism is out and out illegal in Germany only means that it gets driven underground and is that much harder to identify.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, if the thing is...
I mean, I'm not holding Germany solely. They're not solely what I'm talking about. The right wing is all over the place. It's all... You know, Sarkozy is in position in France because of the right wing.
Well, see, Germany and France are looking mighty like they looked in the 40s right about now. I'm sorry to say that. They're looking a bit too cozy.
Well,
I'm
that's,
not liking it.
That's
it
like,
ain't looking right.
Well, that's like me rereading Barbara Tuchman's The Guns of August right now. You know, you always get the sense if you are an appreciator of history or a student of history, it's almost impossible to be Germany, and I'll probably get letters from the German listeners. It's almost impossible to be Germany and not periodically just look over there at Belgium and say, you know what? It's the only way.
Listen, and I'm also looking at this situation and saying, damn, Cameron sure ain't no Churchill. You understand what I'm saying?
No, not, no.
Oh, it's messed up over there.
Yeah, you want to say to him, you know, stay in bed all day, get a snifter of brandy, smoke a couple of good cigars, and see if it brings you any wisdom, buddy.
Yeah, get ready, because, I don't know. I don't know. I feel for the sort of pig states, as they call them, because Germany seems determined to extract their pound of flesh and still maintain this hyper-export economy. It's not going to work. I'm telling you, there's no way. They can't punish the markets that they serve. You know what I mean? Shitting in their sandbox and all that.
And even, you know, even their social welfare safety net has taken a bit of a beating over the years, has it not?
Well, and also they derived this whole system where they, you know, can maintain low wages supplemented by their strong welfare state. And if those workers start losing their jobs, you're going to see more Mercedes-Benz lit. You know that story, right?
Yeah.
They was lighting up them cars. So, no, it ain't, and no, nothing is very nice at the moment because of the 1%. You know, they got too much.
And the thing is, 100 years ago, the 1% were just the royalty. We just called them the royalty. But there are different royalists among us now, and they are economic royalists. Wasn't that the term that FDR used?
Yeah. It's the same. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. It's the same thing. And the thing is that, I'm just, you know, Obama is how, he's about what, 4'10 at the moment? I mean, dude is just shrinking. The incredibly shrinking president.
Although, I guess his numbers were the highest they've been in a while today.
I just mean him as just
statesman.
You know, where is he?
Yeah, well, it's easy to send the bombers out after Libya.
Well,
there's other stuff, you know, other stuff is a little bit more difficult, really, isn't it?
I guess it's okay for him just to sit back because the Republicans, wow.
Yeah, they're lunatic. I mean, what, they spent all day yesterday, Sandra, reaffirming that our motto is In God We Trust? Did I miss the memo? Was there a Hail Satan bill on the floor or something?
Yeah, I mean, and in the meanwhile, in the background, we still have these sort of the real Congress that's usurped our Congress, these 12 people who are being funded at some sort of incredible clip right now, you know, waiting at the end of this month to say, we're going to have to cut the rest of the social safety net.
And I mean, you saw what passed for a first proposal coming out from the Democrats. I mean, for God's sakes, it might as well come from the Republicans, right?
No, that's what I'm saying, but it's not. We seem to have two parties that are just doing the bidding of the 1%. So, you know, I have to say, it's nice to live so close to Oakland. They don't fuck around.
No, how did the shut down the port thing go?
Well, they did shut it down. As far as I could tell, they shut it down. I didn't get a chance to do the follow up. But the thing about Oakland is the police there is hell on earth, but people will fight back. You know, Oakland has like a huge, long, rich history of, as you know, with the Black Panther and the whole whatevers. So, the longshoremen are hella radical and.
Oh, the longshoremen will take no shit.
No, and so if you get the longshoremen together with the nursing, goddamn. Those are the most radical unions that we have at the moment. And the nurses are like off the chain. I am so impressed with how radical those people are.
Well, I heard somebody talking, some labor guy from Ohio talking about the whole business with John Kasich and that referendum coming up there. And he said, look, John Kasich did labor the biggest favor that anybody could have done. He said, we were dormant. We were comatose.
Yeah, well, how is that going, though? I mean, what is the polling on that? Is it pretty close, or does it look plausible?
If National Petroleum Radio is to be believed, no, it ain't close. You know, the petition came in, they needed 400,000 signatures, and they had something like 950,000.
No, but I mean, so there's a good chance that it could be repealed. This
right,
is what I'm asking.
Yes, yes.
Okay, because if it ain't repealed...
But the trick is, even and this has already been put out for public consumption, because, you know, Republicans are single-minded, and they have a laser beam focus, and by God, when you tell an authoritarian right-winger to march, they march, Sandra.
Yeah.
And they're already putting it out for public consumption that even if this thing is repealed, the first thing that the legislature will do when it sits back down to work again is to repass several elements of it.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that a little bit, Jesus, you know, you can't learn from your mistakes?
No, well, I just think that obviously, you know, people are sort of realizing that it's a war now, you know, and also, the sort of people in the street aspect of this movement can sort of, you know, show people that there are other ways, to respond politically, you know, I mean, cause listen, you're gonna have to be able to wise up or you're not gonna survive. This is the message that, you know, I'm getting.
And the other thing is, as it pertains to labor in Ohio and, generally across the country, is that people have to maintain a certain degree of focus, because that thing that I saw on Crooks and Liars a few days ago about the fact that Karl Rove and his crowd are already messaging like hell has to be borne in mind, because it turns neither you nor I maintains a whole hell of a lot of respect for the general American electorate, do we, Sandra?
Well,
And it was proven, because what Rove's people did is they said, well, here's what you do. If you say to people, without the Obama's jobs bill, we're going to have to lay off firefighters, police
right.
officers, and
yeah.
teachers. Well, 72% say, hell no, don't do that. But if
right.
you rephrase it and say, we'll have to lay off government union workers, they go,
right.
well, hell yeah, do that. I hate them bastards.
And it's just, you know, that just goes to the lack of critical thinking and the poor state of our educational system, you know? I mean, not that I'm a huge Jefferson fan, but he was the one that stressed that, oh, my God, you got to have a educated populace if you want to have any kind of democracy, right?
Right. And absent that, isn't it all just blue smoke and mirrors?
Right. And so, you know, I still, in the back of my mind, can really see the Republicans taking all three branches. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a distinct possibility.
You know what? They're not going to lose the House.
And I'm just saying, I don't.
And they may take the Senate.
Right. And so, certain things continue the way they're going, you know, Obama is you know, working against the grain. So
even facing a lunatic like Perry, or, you know, I mean, can we just say Herm ain't going to be it? Romney and Romney, you know, whose family, it turns out, was, you know, they've thrown around that word Ponzi scheme a lot, Sandra. Well, it turns out the Romney crowd really was associated with a Ponzi scheme. It was called the Stanford Group. And then they were up to their knuckles in it.
Well, no, but he's so, he's completely sleazy. He doesn't even seem to have much support amongst Republicans.
But I think the pollsters are missing this somehow, because I don't know how you factor in statistical data for racism, but by the time their convention is over with and it turns into Romney versus that one.
Yeah.
You know what? Like I said, the thing about right-wing authoritarians is it don't matter how pissed off they are. When they get told to march in a certain direction, they go there double time.
Oh, yeah, no. It's true. I just wonder, you know, it's just sort of weird, because historically Obama is trying to do what only Roosevelt has done in modern times. So he's in that company, but he's not, it doesn't even justify him
But he doesn't.
Achieving that.
He doesn't have that metal either.
I'm saying he's lumped in the same situation. I mean, Roosevelt was reelected, and I think the unemployment was whatever, 15, 18, 20% his second time around still, and he was reelected. And Obama is looking at similar type numbers. But
the populace was not subjected to an onslaught day in and day out, 24/7 barrage of right-wing talking points like the populace is now. And secondarily, that populace, as a result, was righteously angry over the state of the nation, and didn't just give FDR the presidency, but gave him a House and a Senate with which to work.
Well, yeah, so anyway, I just don't. I don't know about you, but I'm very sort of uncertain about, what's going to be happening a year from now. I swear, I've never seen it.
Well, Sandra, I understand it. I'm the same way too. Because on the one hand, I keep going, really, Romney versus Obama, really, that's a contest. And then I go, wait a minute, we're talking about American voters. Yes, it's a contest.
Well, and also, the sort of, normally for Americans, the international scene isn't an issue. We know that. Who gives, they don't care. Most people don't give a F. So all the sort of, quote, accomplishments of Obama is going to mean nothing. That's the thing. And I think they seem to think that it's going to mean something.
Oh, master of foreign policy means less than zero. Ask Jimmy Carter.
Right. And so, if he's going to rely on that as his selling point, it's tough.
Cue up Goodnight Irene.
What is he going to? What else did he do recently? Oh, those trade deals. That ain't going to do it for him.
That's certainly not going to endear him to the single largest independent financer of get out the vote, to wit, labor.
Well, and also, it's funny that he didn't feel the need to go to that G20 meeting, too. Did you notice that?
That may have been the smartest thing he did.
Well,
or didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is sort of, yeah, for sure.
Don't go swanning around with the 1% who are, no.
Yeah, or the Euro trash, or whatever you want to call them. Anyway, the only other thing I must mention is, oh my God, the Tim Tebow thing. I didn't realize, I always sort of took what you're talking about as a grain of salt, because I thought, oh God, but you're right. This is just so over the top with this Tim Tebow person. But I was laughing at how some other players taking a piss out of him with the dropping down and shit.
Oh, that was a beautiful thing. But my favorite quote came from Champ Bailey when they asked him about the Lions players Tebowing and stuff. I mean, for God's sakes, the guy who landed with a parachute at the 50-yard line Tebowed before the game. but when they asked Champ Bailey, and he's no slacker. When he said, "I get tired of people talking about us being disrespected. You want to stop that? Stop them. Win the game." And you can't help thinking that had to be a little bit aimed at little Timmy. And Timmy sits there before the microphone and says, "Well, I'm just going to keep working on being the best person and best football player I can."
Oh, no, all of it is just too much. It's like, I know he must drive, obviously he drives other players up the wall because, people taking a piss out of him. And it's only because of how he is.
Well, how much longer before the Denver Broncos offensive line starts, I don't know, taking two steps back in pass block and going, "Oh, my ankle," and hitting the ground?
I'm surprised that John Elway, is sort of putting up with this, but whatever. I mean, I don't know anything about their organization.
Well, they got a problem that's larger than Tim Tebow.
Well, yeah, but they also, he was drafted first round and they paid a lot, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, and that was done by the guy who ain't there no more.
Right, but and the coach for them is Fox, right?
Right, who is not a man of minced words.
Yes,
but the problem is he's got Orton, who wasn't working.
Well, what about that big head guy?
And he's got Timmy, and Timmy was third on the depth chart when the season started. And then he's got that Notre Dame kid, whose name I can never remember, in number.
He has a huge head.
Yeah. Big old head.
His head is ginormous.
Yeah,
anyway,
big old alien-headed Notre Dame guy.
It's just bizarre, yeah.
And he's got to be sitting there going, "What? I was number two. I got jumped over for making a public mockery of the Broncos."
Oh, no, listen, you know, I don't understand what's going on, because that kid over at the Vikings, it seemed to be doing all right, right?
Well, yeah, and look, I mean, Jesus, even though Carolina's losing, if Cam Newton isn't on a track to be Rookie of the Year, who the hell is?
I know, but I'm sorry, though. I keep waiting for him to get laid out the way he play. I don't know how long he can last playing like that. No taking off from him. He's amazing, but, you know, he's a bit of a daredevil, that guy.
Well, he is, and you know, that's what the first year in the NFL is for.
I guess, but yeah, he.
But so is it a trip Oakland into Denver this Sunday, or is it Denver to Oakland?
Oh God, I don't know. I was, you know, Oakland. Poor Oakland with the guy they had before. Is it Campbell? Jason Campbell? He was doing so well.
Yeah, goodbye.
And just like now they had his, anyway.
Yeah, what was it, 3 quarterbacks, 5 interceptions?
Yeah, no, it's terrible, you know, the quarterback situation. The other quarterback situation that's killing me, and I know we're going on, but you think they're going to trade Peyton Manning? Bye-bye, bitch, and then get that Andrew Luck person?
It wouldn't be the first time that level of unloyalty was shown. But then again, you know, they may not have to trade him because he just may not come back.
Oh, because it's pretty serious what happened to him, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those get another hit right there, spend the life in the wheelchair kind of things. I mean, I don't even know if they'll know for a number of months whether or not the surgery worked.
I mean, it's terrible, really, because I have to say, he is quite amazing to watch, though. Play.
Well, yeah, and from the standpoint of the classic drop back passer with a cannon on his shoulder, kind of, yeah.
But
it's like he's throwing darts.
I didn't know it was that serious. I didn't know it was possible, sort of not walking type of injury. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean they were fusing. I mean, some sort of experimental surgery involving fusing vertebrae in his neck.
Yeah. Shut up! Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, I mean If you work, you know, you work at the 7-Eleven and you get vertebrae fused in the neck, you're down.
Oh, no.
And that's no disrespect to people who work in 7-Eleven. It's brutal. It's, you know, 8 hours on your feet kind of stuff. But it's hard on your body. And, you know, any back surgery involving the spinal column, you know, even with medicine being what it is still, you know, the success rate's around 50%.
Oh, and you know what? I got to say, NBA, nobody cares. Come on, these people are so
Well, that's
stupid.
What pissed me off. I mentioned it last night. That's what pissed me off about that little stunt that Stephen Colbert pulled, you know, where he dressed up like Che Guevara to walk down through Occupy Wall Street, and he was carrying a sign that said, End the Lockout.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The thing about the NBA thing is that they need to realize that the NBA is not the NFL, and if these idiots can't split $4 billion, wow. You know, and if they don't have a season, they're gonna be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, and there's a lot of working people that get stiffed out of that too, and that's
right.
You know, yeah.
And people aren't gonna be that forgiving to me. I just can't believe they've not worked it out in this climate. It's absolutely stunning. It is unbelievable.
Well, don't be surprised if there ain't no season at all. And
well,
yeah,
who knows? I mean, David, it happened until. Last time they started in January and they had 50 games, or they did a deal in January.
Yeah, maybe this is LeBron's ring year when he only has to play, you know, half a season.
Well, see, that's another thing. It's like, I'll be fine if I don't have to see him. You understand what I'm saying? And that is a problem for the NBA.
Well, you know, when the Cleveland show on Fox, that animated program, is making LeBron James jokes, you know, you've really, you know, gone down to somewhere.
Well, anyway, no, I just say boo on the whole organization, you know. It's like...
Yeah, no kidding.
But anyway, listen, I know we've drifted into the land of, oh, my God, what are they talking about? So I'll let you go. Have a good evening.
You too, Sandra. Bye now.
Bye.
And we will pick this up again tomorrow night. A reminder, tomorrow night will be the last night of the program. We'll follow up with some stuff on the Honorable Judge Adams as well. Thanks to everybody who makes all this go. Rick Smith is next. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.